Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are you doing this week, girls?
Ann looks like the cartoon of somebody who's sick.
It is pretty pathetic.
Sometimes, sometimes when I slept bad and I was a little kid, I would wander out and my mom would be like, oh, babe, you put your face on sideways. And that's how Ann showed up to the zoo.
I love it because anytime I'm sick, I worry that I don't look sick enough and that, like, yeah. Just normal people, just like my friends and stuff, I'm like, I wonder if they think I'm lying about being sick. Like, yeah. I hope they can see it. Ann, you can see it. You really can.
Thank you so much. I was worried that you would not believe me. So,
classic Ann hopped on Zoom. She's pretending to be sick for some reason.
It is true, though. Once I got sick, like, in, like, the second week of a new contract, and I had to call in sick, and I was, like, real sick, and I was, like, and then I, like, went into work the next day, even though I wasn't feeling that well, and, like, later my boss was like, oh, yeah, you look terrible. And I was like, okay, great, good, hell thank yeah. you. Like, you know I was really, like, I didn't want to call out my second week, but.
It feels amazing to know that. But then I've still had that experience where I'm like, I look like death. Someone tells me I look like death. And I'm like, I'm getting away with it. And it's like, no, you, babe, you feel like death too. You want to die.
All the way in here. Yeah. And I was at a work conference this week feeling nauseated to hell. It was not a good situation. It hasn't been a good week.
I'm sorry, Ian.
But hey, here I am. Ready to have a good time with you ladies.
thank you for sharing,
really
though. What would we
vibe.
Say?
Yeah.
Thank you for your...
Yeah, for anything, but I'm
what
curious
are
what
the
you'll
giver?
Find.
I think just
in
say thank you for the perseverance, right?
There
thank you
go.
For your That's perseverance. Nice but what do they say in The Giver? What do they keep
saying?
Oh, doing?
They say thank you for your dreams or,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But,
yeah. Thank you for your illness.
Yeah. She's sharing it with us.
Leah, are you feeling well in your body and mind?
Medium.
Medium? That's pretty good, honestly.
Thank yeah. you.
I've been at quite a low ebb this week, and today it's been raining all day. So,
well, it's like the weather's been really good here. It's been like in the high 60s, low 70s, which is like my ideal zone. Like, it's not so hot that you're like uncomfortable in any way, but then at night it dips low enough that like you can be under covers. It's very nice. So that's like really been putting me in a good mood. But today's work day was not extremely pleasant. So. We sunk. The weather could not.
The weather couldn't bring you up.
No.
At a certain point, mitigation becomes impossible. Mm. And you simply succumb to misery.
So true.
Never forget that, listeners. Well, I've been bad, but it's coming back, listeners. Not everyone is happy about it. But I do think she'll be happy in time. Okay, so just like give her a lot of support. They're gonna really support you, Leah. Do you is that
earlier
help?
in help? The pre you know the Zoom converse the pre you know podcast conversation? Allie said, "I need your consent on this," and I didn't.
I don't
give
know
it.
That I said. I
and
need
then we
your
moved
consent.
On.
She said, "I'm not getting any consent." And said, "I'm not sure that matters." And here we are. Yeah.
The thing is, I wish I could crawl into your brain and figure out, like, what got wired wrong that has made this activity your enemy.
Okay, Allie, if I had a nickel for every time someone said, I wish I could crawl into your brain and figure out what got wired wrong, I wouldn't have to work.
Well, then I wish that for you. I wish and hope that for you.
Many people
I
have wondered.
I want you to get those nickels, babe.
Many before you have wondered what's wrong in there.
I just think something, I think something got disconnected and reconnected wrong. And that's why you have this animosity towards playing What's Making Me Happy when you love telling us things that are making you happy.
No, and we love, don't.
Yes, you do. You love sharing that you're enjoying a new Starbucks refresher or that you listen to a great new podcast about someone faking a pregnancy. These are all things that you've shared, you know? It's like you enjoy as much as we do. Like you come to your friends and you say, here's something I encountered in the world that excited and activated me.
You do keep saying, like, Leah, you love it when you're doing it. But I've actually never heard Leah express ever that she loved it while she was doing it.
Thank you so much.
Immediately
thank
thereafter.
You don't thank think you that you don't I love her it sharing those things of her own free will implies that she loves it. Otherwise, why would she do it? You know?
Leah, you do it every year, so you must love it.
No, she does. Those weren't things that she did for this show. She just shared that with us in our private chat.
Oh, that's true. Sometimes she does just share things she loves. Yeah. Leah, maybe it needs to be a more casual, fun thing for you. Like when you have that urge, just write it down in a little notepad and then you can pull it out.
Leah thinks you're saying one thing, but you're not.
No,
I'm not. I think my participation should be voluntary and spontaneous.
No, wrong. Not
as,
right.
As I have something to share, I'll participate.
As you have something to share, make a note that you want to share it at some point.
Yeah, and then when it's your turn in a regimented system, you'll share it.
I think when it comes up, I'll certainly volunteer it, but I shouldn't be pressed.
You are going to be pressed. You'll be doing it once every 3 weeks. So I don't know. It's like the beatings will continue until morale improves. That's how Tony runs his company, and that's how we run this podcast, okay? So What's Making Me Happy is back this week. I'll start us off with what's making me happy, and my thing, which Anne already knows because she saw me talking about it, is that I read Tana French's The Secret Place, and I'm obsessed with it. And every time I read a Tana French book, I am obsessed with it. And then I think some part of my brain is like trying to protect me from like reading all of them. And so then it's like, I won't think about this again for 3 years. But I'm going to. I moved right on to the next one.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's,
which one?
The next one is Broken Harbor, maybe. It's the one where the main characters... Well, I don't want to give anything away, you know? Mm-hmm. It's
I
won't give too much away. What I said to you on our private platform about what I loved about The Secret Place kind of continues in the next one. You know?
Yeah.
What I love about Tana French, I don't think these mysteries work. Always. I don't really think these mysteries work, but the energy of the mystery works, and things are always like shimmering, and like the emotions are really heightened in like a really interesting way, and she's just very good at like she suddenly gets you in the middle of like a pretty concrete, you know, like practical passage with just a little, I don't know, insight into someone's emotional life that's just like, oh shoot, that really is messing me up. So
yeah, she's so good. I started reading just the detective chapters of The Secret Place after you were saying that, because I was like, that was so good. And I read it on the plane home like the whole way. And she's a really good writer. And I think the mysteries like really drive the plot. Like when she's done ones that aren't as detective-y, like I think she gets a little like her plots don't move with enough energy, I think. Although some people I know like those ones better. But yeah, I think it helps her. It helps give her a structure, I think, because she's a very good writer of characters.
She is. But she does also that. What was that book that I just read that I was complaining about the other day? And it was called like Margaret Goes to Cambridge or no, it wasn't. I don't know what it was called, but it was the one that was a mystery. And I complained to everybody like this is the dumbest. Oh, The Maidens. I was I hate this book. I hate the writing. And I hate that the author decided to write a mystery, but then at no point in the entire course of the book seemed remotely interested in how a mystery works or in engaging with the concept of like solving a mystery. Like she just kept skipping. Actually, it might have been I don't know if a man or a woman wrote it, but they just kept skipping the parts where it's like, this is where someone should be doing detective work and you should be interested in describing like how they're detecting, but they didn't have any interest in that. But I like that Tana French does have a genuine interest and is like, okay, I want to think about how people hide things and then how you figure them out.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's what's making me happy. Tana French, I'm going to read a couple, and then I'm going to, my mind will go very blank again. And then 3 to 4 years, I will have some new Tana French books to read that I will again love. Thank you, Tana, exciting. For my life. Okay, shall we talk about the wrestling?
Yeah.
All right. We begin with our beautiful elite. This week's collision. I had to skip some stuff that I typed that had nothing to do with. Never mind. This week's collision opened with Swerve coming out for an in-ring promo, but he was almost immediately interrupted by the Young Bucks, who strolled out to booze, welcoming the booze. Nick said, show some respect for your founding fathers. And they told Swerve, who had a match scheduled with Vanilla Baby, Blake Christian, for later in the night, they told him that they had pulled some strings and it would be happening immediately. And even though Swerve was in his street clothes, and I liked the part of this where Matt Jackson decided to really go in on the street clothes. He said, you'll have to fight even though you're wearing leather pants. They're beautiful leather pants. They look so good, but you'll have to fight in them.
He's a bad boy, but he's not a liar.
No.
He's not going to misrepresent the situation.
He's still a sartorialist. And so Blake Christian came out. He and Swerve fought. The Bucks hopped into some little chairs on the ramp and watched.
Which they weren't just folding chairs this time. They were like...
But they were like chairs? Director's chairs.
They were
a little higher than normal.
Yes, I like that.
And both the Bucks are just short enough that they had to clamber a little. And I have to say, I love that. I love that a lot.
I love that as a short person who, whenever I go into the office, we have one of the rooms has the taller chairs. And it is humiliating in front of your colleagues to be like, and they have, those ones are worse because they are rolly chairs, so it's just like, excuse me while I just try and climb up into this chair that's actively trying to get away from me because I'm just a little girl. I thought it was good to have the director's chairs. So they watched from there. Eventually Swerve won the match. We had a little post-match stuff. Lee Johnson was there with Vanilla Baby, so he was kind of attacking Swerve, and then the Bucks were EVP triggering Swerve, and then Kenny ran out for the save. What do you guys want to talk about?
I love the Bucks bit where they just sit and watch, and they look like emperors waiting for their rats on a stick, and it's a good bit for me every time, because they do such a good job of every time the camera's on them, they're making like hammy faces and shaking their fists or responding in some way. It's like
they like to kind of like whisper to each other too, like they're like really having some thoughts about what's going on in the match.
Yeah, and they're so good at just being, like, annoying in general. Like, when they came out and then Swerve made this face that was, like, not quite an eye roll, but it was very, like, oh, boy, like, here we go, which I thought was masterful work from everyone.
I did think it was great because I had a moment where I was just like, oh, yeah, like, these are the most annoying, like, guys you ever have to deal with. And then I'm like, no, you have, like, things that are more annoying but not annoying in this exact way. Like, they're just, like, perfectly... Mm-hmm. They're perfectly, what word am I looking for? I can't think of it. But they're just annoying in a way no one else could ever be, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say here? Do we have permanent custody of Blake Christian now?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Did he get this stupid graphic?
Nobody shows up all the time. I mean, I thought when he had that match with Kenny, I thought we were just getting him for a week. But his vibe is kind of that he was like, well, kind of fun here. Like, maybe I just like won't leave.
Like, Wikipedia says he's signed to All Elite Wrestling and Ring of Honor. So
he is ours.
I guess we got him.
He's our problem. I don't mind him. I'm willing to onboard things about him now that I know that. That we do have custody of him. I didn't think I was supposed to be learning anything about him, to be honest. Mm. All right, Blake, I'll be watching from now on. Okay, so then Dynamite opened with... So it was an all-star 8-man tag, but I've called it Sewer Wars.
Hell yeah.
And this was Kenny, Mark Briscoe, and Speedball Mike Bailey, and Kevin Knight, so many men, versus Ricochet, the Young Bucks, and Okada. Let's go with broad thoughts about the match. Did you have
slapped? Fun? Absolutely slapped. Like, I could have watched that for a full hour. And it's like, I had this funny thought in the beginning where I was like, there's so many men in this ring. This would have absolutely given us like some kind of ulcer in the beginning of our wrestling like adventure, because we just would have been like, this is too many men, can't keep track of. But we kept track of all of these men. We knew all of them. But also, like, I just think that there's the whoever laid this match out was so good at it, where it's just like, oh, like, you naturally are focusing on like what they want you to focus on. I guess it helps that, you know, Dustin's not crouching in the corner as well. Like, who's got eyes on Dustin?
You think in the past, Dustin might have made it a little more difficult for us to truly engage with multi-man? Yeah.
Yes. I do think that might have been part of it, that we're like, enough with the people in the ring. Show me the man on the floor.
But I think it is a compliment to this match that it had. Of course, last week we really engaged with our sewer boys and we like really learned their names and like what teams they were on and stuff, obviously. But I wouldn't, and I've liked them thus far. But in this match, even when people, like, even when like they were the new people were the ones being highlighted, I was very interested. Like, suddenly I was like, okay, this is fun. I'm really following like what's going on. And I didn't keep thinking like, where's my Young Bucks? Like, because I knew they were there. I knew they were safely there nearby. And like, where's Kenny? Like, sometimes I did think like, I hope he's not hiding under the ring. Is he okay? Like,
I did have a moment where I was like, everyone in this match is having the time of their lives, except Kenny, who still might be in an existential crisis.
But I think you said, but he's showing up anyway, which was really encouraging to him.
He came to work, and that's all that counts.
Can we post this meme that I made later?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Barbie.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very fun match. And
it was like a lot more funny than I expected it to be. Like, they did a lot of comedy and it was very fun even when they weren't doing comedy, which was good. I do feel like the show needs a little more fun injected into it a lot of the time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I really liked the Ricochet and Matt Jackson interactions, like both the like Matt giving Ricochet his hair, but also like the whole part where Matt accidentally hit Ricochet and Ricochet got mad at him for a couple minutes. And Matt does what we all have said people should do during friendly fire, where he was like, hey man, I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. See, that other guy ducked, so don't be mad at me about this. And Ricochet eventually was like, no, that does add up. You probably
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good work, Ricochet. You two listened and communicated. I'm proud of you. That's growth, baby. I think we also all said it was very funny when the Bucks and Ricochet came out, and Ricochet, of course, the Bucks always have, they always have a middleman to stand on either side of, but Okada is their middleman, but they came out with Ricochet. So it's like Ricochet is just on one side of them, just being like, and me in the mid, no, okay.
No, and he had this like weird little eager look because they did their like arm pose and he was like, yeah. Where do you guys? Oh, stay over here? Yeah. Okay. You guys are doing great.
Anywhere? Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a little like, hey, there's kind of like a really natural place for a third. No? Okay. That's no problem.
I won't rush it. You know, when you guys are ready, when you're ready, I'll step in.
When you've decided that you're bored of and want to kill Okada, I'll be here. I'll still be here.
Just ready to slide right in that middle anytime you want.
And what kills me about that is that I know every man in that position is like, yeah, when you turn on that guy, I'll be here. And I'll be the one guy you don't turn on. It's like, never.
It's so important that nobody ever learn. You know, that's how the world of wrestling keeps on turning.
Every man says, I can fix them, and they are wrong.
And they're like, what's wrong with us? There's
nothing. I was going to say, we all know, like, they won't find that true middleman until they meet someone who says, I can make them worse. Although I think that that maybe has been Kenny sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's Kenny. Yeah, the once in future middleman. Yeah.
That's why Kenny has had so many turns as middleman, because he yeah. fundamentally is like, no.
Sometimes it's, he it's looks good. At them and he's like, looks like those guys got a little too fixed. Seems like someone needs to I'll make them worse again. Kenny, grab onto that feeling with both hands, okay? And let's haul you out of the abyss, buddy, because, you know, you got three girls here who are, that we know where you're coming from. Mm. It's not always easy to be a person on this bitch of an earth. What did you guys think about the fact that you have all these sewer boys in the match and Kenny's in the match and the Bucks are in the match? And Will Ospreay is nowhere to be seen. And I know he doesn't want us to tell, I think actively wishes we wouldn't tell our great cloud stories about him. But didn't you like thinking about him watching this on TV and just like crying?
Yeah, because you know he wanted to be on a team with yeah. his friend Kenny, you know, and his old friend Ricochet. And he's just like, or, you know, against Ricochet. But like, he just, you know, that's where he was dying to be. And instead, like, what was he even doing? Oh, was he?
I think he was there. On?
You don't think he was there? Yeah,
I don't think. So he, I don't think he's been on TV.
His dream is to be part of a team. You know,
he wants. And he was,
he wants a crew,
and he was
just very briefly. And then the team were like, "You're not here. Oh, no problem. We won't miss you."
Like, you know who we like? Your other friend who kind of dumped you the other week.
Yeah. Like, right. Like, he was on the team being like, Kenny must be so jealous. And then they're like, it's cool. We'll just sub in Kenny. It's like, ooh, rough.
And I'm sure that when we see Ospreay on TV again, he's really going to be selling that emotion. And
oh, yeah.
I think you'll, we're definitely going to see
all
that.
The things we're discussing will be perceptible on his face.
Mm-hmm. I also thought of him because at one point watching this match, I said, I was complimentary. I was like, this is a fucking blast. What is this, a damn Tigger convention? But the number one Tigger, Will Ospreay, wasn't there. That's got a sting.
Mm-hmm.
True.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers is a Tigger's a wonderful thing, but not a unique thing. There are others. Yeah.
There are Tiggers.
Let's see what else we have here. I want to talk about this with you guys.
Okay, you just, you said that like you were about to have a hard conversation that you didn't want to scare us about. We're like, let's talk this through. Your mother and I are getting a divorce.
Well, I think that I myself am a little scared. Like, I'm like, we could get into this and find that we simply can't discuss it. But so you know how our good friends, Trish and Sarah, have a podcast. Uh-huh. And they will occasionally, they listen to other stuff that's going on, other podcasts and stuff, and they'll recap them sometimes. And Sarah was recapping the Wrestling Observer Radio today mm-hmm. or yesterday or something. Today. Must have been today. Mm-hmm. This, I don't think actually I had to explain any of that, so feel free to cut it. Now, from her, but I just want to explain, like, I'm not listening to Dave Meltzer, okay? I just want you to know.
Defensively, like, I've actually never listened to more, so don't worry about it.
I've seen a few clips that I watched for comedy purposes, but I don't watch, I don't listen. I don't know about this man's takes except what I hear. Sarah recaps this about the opening match. I think Dave says they did a Memphis match for the first 18 minutes. Which is fine, a lot of ha-ha and things like that. I paused and I said, I don't know that much about anything. But I didn't think that this was a Memphis match. So I started Googling, like, what is a Memphis match? How do the Young Bucks wrestle? Like, what type of wrestling do the Young Bucks do? And everything I saw got my ass even more confused, because I'm on these Reddit posts being like, if you want to learn about Memphis matches, there's only one place to go, Jim Cornette. I said, well, I'm not sure that's what they did. And sometimes I wish that there were a place I could go to just learn, like, what people I like in wrestling are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what am I watching?
Yeah. Seems like there should be, like, more normal, like, unbiased sources in wrestling, but
Yeah. And nobody ever wants to explain anything with like the appropriate amount of context. Like everyone wants to give me like a lot more information than I want and like 20 video clips. And I'm like, oh, that's not, I just wanted like 3 sentences at most.
Have you ever seen that post that's like somebody, like some book publisher sent like a little girl a book on penguins and was like, can we get your review on this? And she wrote back, this is more information on penguins than I care to receive. Us all the time asking one question and then getting 6 paragraphs and being like, I can't.
This is I actually did want to penguins. Attend a lecture course. I just wanted like 2 or 3 jokes and, you know.
And I will say,
a bunch of people describe it as a PWG match, which did make more sense to me because
more likely than a Memphis match.
Because I think PWG was known for multi-man matches that had like that level of like, you know, Flippy Boy plus comedy. So I think that that's more accurate. I can't. I have no idea what a Memphis match means.
Kind of a spot fest complimentary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps. Okay. Well, I'm willing to fall on this grenade. If anybody wants to talk to me about what a Memphis match is, I read an article too, and what I liked about the article, this is we're wandering a little far from the point, but I do just want to read this. So like they're talking about what was so special about Memphis wrestling. The magic of wrestling came from storytelling. Every match was a new chapter in an ongoing saga, good versus evil, friendships forged and broken, and betrayals that could send the crowd into a frenzy. What was special about Memphis was the fans' interaction with the story. What other cities and towns may not accept or believe would be taken with a passion that spread through the city. So it's like, okay.
Wow. So the whole city of Memphis is implicated in these Memphis-style matches.
Interesting. Like every other city and town in America is full of people who are resistant to the magic. But in Memphis, they can't say no. Like,
you go to Cincinnati. Baby. You go to Cincinnati and people are like, guys, wrestling is fake. But you go to Memphis and they're like, that steel chair, it's real.
I believe it.
Anyway. But just, you know, just like keep in mind, like just the basics, please. Kenny and Okada, obviously both in this match, they did have some interactions. People very excited about seeing them in the ring together. What would you like to highlight about what we saw of them?
Kenny was big mad. He kept yelling at Okada.
He did.
Why do you think he did that?
It's a great question.
I don't know. I would love for them. I mean, the thing is that like it's like you get why they Kenny's mad at the Young Bucks. Like, obviously, that makes complete sense. But it's like, the reason he's mad is Okada.
It's because of the dookie. It's so
because of the dookie everywhere. Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, the Okada stuff is from New Japan. And I don't know that stuff. And yes, someone did recently send us a video explainer, which I did not watch. I'm so sorry, Eric.
She can't watch video. No, we'll probably see it at some point.
But maybe. It's one of those things where I'm like, I really do need the two of you to give a promo where you're like, in New Japan, you did XYZ to me that was really like, that's the grudge I'm holding. And now you've hooked up with the Young Bucks and it's like, that's now I just have to kill you. Unfortunately, they have both of them just want to do kissing pose, which, you know.
I didn't even think it was that kissy, actually. I'm like, they could have gotten a little closer mouth-wise.
I know. Huge disappointment. And there has been, like, a lot of, like, video package discourse this week. And they did do one for Miu, I forget her last name. But the thing is, like, watching it, I was like, video packages are my least favorite way to, like, like get someone's vibe. Because I feel like it's always, like, like, a friend of yours is like, oh, I invited another friend to come out to brunch with us. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, what's their vibe? What are they like? And they're like, well, they graduated from Northwestern in 2006. And you're like, well,
Peanuts,
okay, that's
adult,
not actually
Peanuts
that
adult voice in my head. Just like, right. I won't know that. Like, they 10 years from belts. Now, I won't know that anymore.
Like, I don't need a resume. I want to know what their deal is right now. Like, what grudges are they holding on to and why? Yeah, so like 2 minutes of Kenny and Okada like talking to each other would get me up to speed, no problem. Not even 2 minutes, like 30 seconds. Yeah. Whereas like a video package is going to go in one ear and out the other, to be honest. So
right. Well, because they're not going to highlight the right things.
Exactly.
No.
I know we're constantly you know, big upping the Young Bucks, but that is something that they always have been good at in the past. Like, I still think all the time about the first time Jay White was ever on AEW. They let him do the thing where he did the run out and he got lots of cheers or whatever. Yeah. And then it was like 20 minutes later, there was a backstage promo where, like, I think Adam Cole was with them at the time. And it was like Adam Cole and the Young Bucks were like, wow, Jay White, here's, this is the way I felt about you before, but here's how I feel about you now. And we're like, okay, great. No, understood.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Kenny used to be like involved in that kind of like good exposition. And I don't know what's going on with him now that it's just like,
he's quiet quitting.
Yeah, know. For sure.
It's pretty demoralizing.
And do I find it stressful? Like, yes, I don't like it. I like when the old dogs are happy. You're not old, Kenny. You're fine. You're okay. Don't go over that rainbow bridge, babe. This has been great. I did think, Leah, that you especially were going to bring up your cloud story about... Do you want it? Yeah.
That Kenny's biggest...
Yeah.
I don't know if I can.
You don't think you can? Not even a... I think the general... It's funny... To have all the, it's funny that it's like, yeah, I actually don't really get Okada and Omega's deal. Okada and Omega. Oh, demon.
What just possessed you?
I don't know, guys. Once you've been reading a lot of these recaps, you just start saying things. Okada and Kenny's deal. I don't really like get like why they fought so many times or like even really why it was good. Although we might have watched one once, but but what I did understand pretty viscerally in the moment in the ring was that the Young Bucks are Kenny's ex-boyfriends, and the only thing you hate more than an ex-boyfriend is your ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That is,
that and that was coming through vibe. Loud and clear.
That's
for sure. For sure.
To me, it seems like Kenny is much madder at the Young Bucks and like mad at Okada about the Young Bucks than it is about anything that happened in New Japan.
To me, in my mind, it was like Kenny was just like, go the fuck away so that I can have an actual fight with my actual ex-boyfriends. I don't even want you in the picture. I can't even look at you right now. They're going to do the same thing to you.
But like with an edge of like, at some point me and the Bucks are going to work this out. And,
yeah, for sure.
And it would go faster if you were out of the way, you know, like you're not a permanent middleman. You're not a repeat middleman. It'll be my time again soon. So just move.
Yeah. He's like, I fucking hate them. And also we're endgame. I am going to get them back.
Yeah.
Cheryl Cole, I want you back. Well, you know, don't give us long video packages. And yes, we can watch the video and we will Google like what they fought about on their own, but I think it's, you know, let them talk maybe
silence,
because I feel like everyone always acts like the options are either video package or Googling, and it's like there is actually a little middle ground I'd like to call the 1 minute promo that we could explore.
Two men talking to each other about, you know, having a little dialogue about what's going on between them.
Whatever's on their mind. Whatever's on their mind. That's what we would recommend. Let's move on to what's going on in the Owen. So the Dynamite main event this week was Kyle Fletcher versus Hangman Adam Page, with the winner going on to fight Will Ospreay at Double or Nothing, which is in about a month. On this week's Collision, we got a little Kyle Fletcher Hangman video package that I thought was pretty successful. I mean, they were giving promos, so it didn't go in one ear and out the other. And in fact, how could it? When Hangman was promising to do things like smack, bite, and be rough with Kyle, and Ozzy opened his ass and put his ostrich leathers heel deep.
He's out of his mind.
Crazy. Absolutely out of his goddamn mind. And then in the moment after Hangman had made these promises, Kyle, making his own like sexy mad face, was like, and I promise you that after I win this championship, you will say my full name. And I was like, wait, has that been a problem? Like, that he won't say your name? Or like,
I feel like everyone calls him Kyle Fletcher to distinguish him from Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So yeah. Who's not calling him Kyle Fletcher?
I don't know why this was so funny to me, but I was just like, Kyle, that's all you could come up with? This man just said he's going to put his boot up your butt. And you said, you will call me by my name. It's like, that's the bare minimum, buddy. We've got to aim higher. We have to believe in ourselves. Say that you'll put your boot up his butt or something.
Do you ever just think about, like a cameraman filmed Hangman saying those things, and then, like, an editor put it all together, and they're all just like, yeah, seems cool.
Hit it out of the park.
Well, it was cool, and that's why they said that. But imagine being the cameraman who's just got to be like, yeah, I think we got it. I think, and that is 100% what you, yeah. Okay, if so, I do think we got it, yes. It's amazing stuff. One of our friends, Mife, hi. He was like, I need someone to tell me whether Hangman has always been at this level of homoeroticism. And I know one of you is about to say yes, but I want you to really think about it. I want you to really think about it. And Mife, you're not wrong. He has ratcheted it up. We're at a 17. Yeah. We've never been at a 17, a sustained 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Before.
No. Right, right.
For sure.
No, and it's, I mean, like, I feel like he's always done a certain level of, like, subtext, you know? Like, but this is text. And yeah. I don't think he's ever been this blatant with
Never said on air that he would open someone's ass before. I can say that.
As Leah said before recording started, he's taking our jobs. We said he's not a misogynist, and yet here he is stealing women's jobs.
Like, what are we supposed to say to that? That is what he said. That's just what he said on the program. So
we can't escalate.
No, it's like how do you say deranged things about someone who did it better? Like on the show, it's like, okay, just watch what he said.
Yeah,
he's gonna drive us to talk about the Christmas of the suplexes or something. Like, what else is left for us?
The what?
She said crispness, and heard Christmas.
Oh,
Christmas. And immediately I was like, Christmas suplex. You open a suplex every day.
I was 100% like, this is some wrestling holiday that I don't know about. But
you both stared at me, and I was like, am I sick enough that I'm like not safe?
No, it's because you immediately transported Allie and I to a very strange
Christmas
world.
Christmas of the suplex. We're in the Nutcracker, basically. The Christmas of the suplexes. And I was excited. I was like, well, that's an okay place for him to go.
Now that you say it.
No, the crispness of the suplexes, God forbid we ever discuss. If you ever hear us, I bet we've done it once or twice, but we should have to put money in a swear jar, basically.
Yeah. Every time we say a move name.
Yeah. Nope, couldn't get there. Thought I had one.
That's good. You gotta keep that money. In this economy, keep it in your little pocket.
thank God. You like Kyle's gear?
It was a real Pepto-Bismol shade of pink there, which I applaud, of course.
I love that it was such, like, baby girl pink, but, like, his name on his ass was, like, still written in, like, heavy metal font.
That's great. A little combining the genres like that is perfect. I do think that aesthetically he's been pretty impeccable.
Yeah.
Because he also understands about escalation comedy.
He does, yeah. I feel like the cut of things was pretty weird this time too, although now I can't like remember, but it was like, did he have some kind of strange shoulder gear? I don't know.
He might have. Maybe. I don't know.
It's possible, certainly.
He was so bright. The pink was so bright that it's like, who could discern the shapes of the gear itself? It was just a big pop in the eyeballs. Hangman, how did you guys feel going into this match? Where did you think we were headed?
I love the vagueness of the original question. Just like, well, I was a little hungry, and I was
guys, we get another mental health check about where you were when this
man started. I was ready for bed, but I was generally pretty happy.
I was flagging quite badly as my sickness was coming on. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
I think, Allie, you had said, like, I really hope Hangman wins here, and I had laid out my prediction that I thought he would. And so then, like, the whole time I was like, fucking don't prove me wrong. Like, I'm actually going to be mad if I'm wrong about this, because I really did think, like, Hangman shouldn't lose to Kyle. I like Kyle. No shade to Kyle. No. But Hangman should not lose to Kyle.
But it was, like, if we get a final that's a Will-Kyle match, like, again, like, for what? Mm-hmm. So I was going to be pretty ripshit. So I was very relieved that Hangman at least is in the finals.
And we did work together mid-match to discover that if we'd gotten Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay, it would have been Kyle Will 5.
5.
And that's and they, of course, they're very good at wrestling each other. But I said, I don't want to see 5 from you two until you earn it with a crying jag.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I need to see, like, a little emotional work before you're allowed to touch each other's bodies in that way again.
Exactly. Like, you've got to bring something to the table to make the fifth one a little bit different. So, like, get in there.
You simply must work, bitch. Yes. Okay, so Hangman won. I thought this was a great match. I had a really fun time. Hangman won. I am so happy. He had to win. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy he won. I have sustained, I think, pretty severe Hangman damage at this point, where it's like, I want him to beat Ospreay so badly, but I feel flat and limp about it, because I'm like, I know I never will get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you want me to get, so now I guess I have a month to do it, but I'm like, you want me to get a full hard on for this match at Double or Nothing, knowing that you're going to kick it with your ostrich leather boot at the end, but you still want me to get it. I probably will, but it doesn't fill me with joy.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
I know. Yeah, I feel, like, very sure that Osprey's going to win, and that we're going to get, like, an Ospreay Mox and then kind of another drizzly little summer.
I'm not trying to precast. I'm just trying to be honest about where my head's at.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Well, it's like being, I mean, I don't think Hangman is any of our special guys, but rooting for Hangman is simply a Charlie Brown in the football, like, where you're just like, he's not going to get it, though, so.
Yeah. But, and it's like, it'd be more fun if he got it, because he always, like, he's not a special guy, but he always tells me an entertaining and sexy story, so.
And he has told very good stories with Mox before, so it's like, I think that if he won the final, like, he could do something that Mox that would get me very interested. Whereas I really like watching Ospreay, but if Mox is not turning in his best work, and
Ospreay's not going to make him.
No, Ospreay needs somebody else to make him do his best work.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Because it's like, Ospreay needs someone to, like, bring a story out of him, and it's not going to be Mox in this incarnation of Mox for sure.
Right.
I think we could argue pedagogy all day about whether it's appropriate to take your best student and pair them with one of your worst students to try and get the worst student to do better, perhaps at the expense of the best student. That's a conversation we could have in the classroom. But here, I would say, no, we must do it.
Yeah.
No bad students working together, only good students working together, or good student working with bad student. And Mox is currently a bad student. And it doesn't mean I don't love him, but I just haven't really seen him doing his best in a while.
So true.
Yeah.
So, we only can say what we want. I want Hangman to win. I am very interested in what I presumably he and Ospreay have, like, 4 weeks or something to build a little over 3 weeks. It's actually not that much time. Okay.
Well, but it's something.
It's something.
I mean, it's nice they get some kind of build.
Yeah.
At least. Like, we'll see if Hangman can get anything out of Ospreay, a real story, not just a cloud story.
What face do you think Ospreay would make if Hangman said to him, like, I'm going to put my boot up your butt? do you think he'd make a kind of face like, what does that mean?
I want I want Hangman to be like, Osprey, all you want is a friend, but friendship is nothing. Friends will only hurt you. There's no point in having friends. And Osprey would just be so devastated and be like, no, that's not right. Friendship is all that matters.
Maybe he could teach Hangman something. That would be a good little story. Aww. It's like for Hangman to be like, look at your innocence. I remember when that
was me. I remember when I believed the Young Bucks could be my friends.
I remember when I was Kenny's friend and I thought Kenny could be everything to me. And look at us now. Now that we don't talk. Mm-hmm. It's like you guys didn't even have a falling out. You just don't talk anymore. Yeah. That's really sad.
Yeah.
Hug your loved ones, you know.
But look out if they're the elite.
But look out if they're the elite. I actually only have, I do want to just really quickly say, do we think that Josh Alexander does have eyebrows or he does
Dude,
not?
Dude, that was crazy.
He doesn't, right?
They weren't visible.
They weren't visible. He has like a very pronounced brow too.
He does.
So it's hard. I know. I was like, are they under his brow? Because that's not typical for eyebrows, under, but maybe
not where they usually go.
I was like, did I never notice this before? Because his headgear was so distracting.
Yes.
His eyebrows are under his brow. That's like such a new, interesting deformity. You know, it's like I don't know if I've ever seen anybody with that.
Beautiful, a beautiful uniqueness. I think.
Thank you for your body, Josh Alexander.
Thank you for your brows, if they're there.
I was like, wow, even without the dorky gear, he still is standing there looking like a real little dweeb.
I have no idea. This was a Don Callis Family Backstage segment. I have no idea what anybody involved said because I was so busy trying to figure out the eyebrow situation. And it actually was a little like exciting to get to the end of the segment and be like, I don't know. I don't feel confident.
I spent that whole segment being like, no, why would Greg not be there? And then fully convincing myself where he got hurt again. He got hurt again and he's going to be out for 6 months. Yeah.
That's about the timeline that Greg usually gets hurt again in. Like, 1 week, no match. Yeah. His boobs just explode on their own, pretty much. Yeah.
We're going to find out that it's like he, I don't know, got run over doing car tricks in the parking lot behind.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The venue or something. All right. The Ops fought Nick Comoroto, Rhett Titus, and Miles Hawkins on Dynamite. Those second two men, I don't know who they are. I've never seen or heard of them before. Nick Comoroto, I didn't think we had custody of anymore. So this was thrilling. And I must say, your body
looked
great.
The middle of that, I was like, didn't Allie put him on her body list?
You may have forgotten, but Emmy did not forget. And she tagged me and said, girl, clock in. Your boy's on TV. His name is in lights. I said, thank you, Emmy. I see. And I am happy. Unfortunately, he did not win the match, of course. The Ops won, and they immediately got attacked by the Death Riders. Samoa Joe choked Mox out for a while, recreationally, and eventually cut an in-ring promo about how Mox loves acting like a boss, but he's actually a little bitch. I said, everybody cool it, okay? This week...
Thinnest of ice.
Very yelly, spitty promo, the gist of which was that, of course, he and Mox will be having their singles singles match at Beach Break. And now that match will be a cage match.
Do you think that Mox's vibe has kind of been like he... realized that he has a huge kink for Samoa Joe choking him out, and he doesn't want to approach him directly, so he just keeps putting himself in Samoa Joe's path and being like, "Oh no, my neck is so available,"
just like a like in an old like Dracula movie, just like, "Oh, my nightgown is fluttering so alluringly, and my the pale curve of my neck as I turn my head." Yeah, that sounds about right.
It seems that way for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
What if that was, it's like he doesn't, what if he wanted to do his same Death Rider stuff, like all of it at the same level, and the only way Tony could bargain him down was like, what if we gave you this like really fun choking fee?
You'll get choked every week, but
every single week.
Sweeten the pot a little bit.
Mike said, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, that's the sugar that makes the medicine go down for sure.
I can work with that, brother. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I was going to say he's got a feud with someone, but of course we've already said, like, why is he still the champ right now? Because if he weren't, he wouldn't have to feud with someone, and this wouldn't be happening.
So true. So true. Could have gone a different way with it.
Why is this cage match not happening at Double or Nothing?
That's confusing.
I think, well, this is why I asked, because I had seen someone, like, who seemed to be, I never know if anyone has any information, but usually we do get the Am I the Asshole match at Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then I feel like the speculation is like it's not happening at Double or Nothing because we're going to have the Am I the Asshole match, which I guess would be the ops and friends with the Death Riders and friends. I don't think they have enough men. So it's like we're going to.
No.
Because usually those are like a 5-on-5 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think it's usually 5-on-5. So somebody, they would both sides would need to go make two friends.
And I'm not sure.
I don't know if those men can do it.
I don't know if they can make the friends. And I also was like, these groups of men, who's going to plan the match? It's an Am I the Asshole match. Who's planning it amongst all of you? Get in front of me here. Who's the project leader?
Yeah, it's very like, I don't know if any of you are really in a like a fun place to do fun things.
Yeah.
The Death Riders have been pretty hammy, so if they really leaned into it and it was like a Roadrunner match, and it's lots of like big oversized TNT dynamite sticks and like mallets that pop out of Acme boxes.
I actually think like gimmick matches are good for Mox at this stage in his, like, I don't want to see a singles match that's not like a cage match or an Am I the Asshole, you know?
I will say, Anne, that your tone in your notes on this was brutal. It was
I don't even remember.
Cold as ice. You said the only way Mox can apparently perform anymore is with a gimmick match. I was like, wow, a really cool demon possessed.
It sounds like she's being like, he needs a sex toy to satisfy a woman.
Yeah, I mean,
he's lost the touch. It wasn't unfair, but it would have, if I were Mox, it would be very hard to hear. I'm like, I'm glad he's not in these notes. That would be demoralizing, but maybe a little demoralization is what you need at a certain point, you know. Okay, well, so
maybe he likes getting choked out and humiliated, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think my tone on that was pretty weird. There's nothing. Mercedes had a sit down interview with Renee on Dynamite, which was a pretty normal to good sit down, but which I liked because Mercedes was doing this acting where, like, in the middle of the segment where she was promoing, she looked like she was lifetime realizing how much she loves herself. Like, just being like, and I've done this and this, and am I the best woman alive? And I liked that. I thought it worked really well. Later in the show, Toni Storm fought Mayu Yamashita and won. And afterwards, Mercedes came out and she kind of was attempting a mid-Atlantic accent, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved how bad it was. It was so bad. It was perfect.
Yeah. I loved it. She's clearly having fun. She's feeling so comfortable in herself and like being able to taunt Tony using a very bad imitation was just so, so funny. She's really come, like, she's really, I feel very fondly towards her in a way that, like, I didn't immediately, so it's really nice.
Yeah. I like her a lot now, and I thought this was, it, like, was just perfect for her to be bad at it, and she was basically just like, I'm going to beat Jamie Hayter, and then I'm going to come for your title, and then Jamie Hayter came out, and I guess I'll read it. Should I? Is it, are we too scared for me to do that? I didn't Google it.
No.
What
did she say something? Oh, yeah.
No, this is just what Manolo said about
it. Oh. I was like, did she say something?
No, she didn't say anything, but Manolo said that Jamie Hayter came out and decked Mercedes in the mush.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
No.
Where is the mush? And you might say, like, why didn't you go back and rewatch the segment to, like, figure out where she got decked? I guess it's the face, maybe? The mush?
Yeah.
But it sounds
I would have guessed belly out of the...
I think it sounds like the female version of when Taz says yambag region.
Yeah.
But I guess you probably wouldn't usually deck someone there. So...
Yeah.
No. Unless you're Tony Storm, when you might, but...
But then you'd still have to be... Because to deck is with the... And it's like, you gotta, you know what? Yeah. And let's not go deeper into that, perhaps.
Yeah, let's not go deeper.
After she got decked in the mush, Mercedes ran away in the world's funniest possible way. She, I don't even know how to describe the little run, like, scampered, sort of, like, but, like, very cowardly. I loved it.
It was. Well, because she was in, like, heels and a skirt, so it was, like, downtown New Year's Eve scamper. Like, it was very fun. Do we have anything else here that we want to talk about? Anna Jay is back, and she beat a jobber, and then she got into it with Penelope Ford, which is a real fun throwback. I got kind of, like, emotional.
I know. I got excited to see them together. I was like, and those are the first women I met.
Yeah.
Those are my friends from preschool.
My mommies.
Yeah.
Similar concepts. And then she got her neck stepped on by Megasus. I'm at my leisure to see more of that. And Anna Jay, I would love if your boyfriend came back to work too. I'm so happy to see you.
Stop making knives.
No more knives.
Back to work.
Why does Tony lose so many of his toys? Like,
because he doesn't clean his room.
Down the back of the couch.
You know it's because he doesn't clean his room.
Jungle Boy's in there somewhere. I don't think he should be allowed to buy new toys when he's lost his old toys.
Have I said on the podcast before that when I was growing up, we had a little living room, entertainment room or whatever that was, you know, the casual family room. And there were built-in shelves and cupboards. And there was one cupboard, like, under the counter in there that as a child you could crawl into. So we used to just, like, we called it the bear cave. And we would, like, hang out in the bear cave. And at some point, when we were in, like, high school or something, and it wasn't used for anything because we just hid in it as children. Mm-hmm. At some point, my mother, you know, comes into the room and she's like, I opened up the bear cave for the first time in 10 years. And do you want to know what I found in there? And I said, I don't know if I want to know. And she said, I found all of your old chewable Flintstone vitamins that you apparently used to crawl into the bear cave. You didn't want to eat them. You just left them in there. So it was just full of crumbling old chewable vitamins. Anyway, I feel like Tony's sometimes doing that with his wrestlers. Pretty much.
Where's Jack Perry? He's in the bear cave with the vitamins.
If he gets hungry, you can just chew on a little vitamin. It's fine.
Tony, don't leave your toys places where they might not be found for years and years and years and years. And while we're looking in the bear cave for JB, maybe we could look for Alex Marvez as well, still unseen.
I'm gonna fully lose my mind if I don't see Alex Marvez soon.
Yeah.
I'm very unhappy about that.
And, like, of course I love Renee, but when I see a sit-down and it's not JR running that sit-down, it's just, it's disappointing. It's like, Renee is too sympathetic, you know, to be doing these the same. You've got to have that JR energy of that why would you say
that? Why would you say that? Why would anybody do that?
I think we have to be the only podcast who's like, enough with Renee. Bring back JR.
Well, the thing is that
Renee has many good qualities.
She's so good at everything she does, except a specific type of like sit down where you just need someone whose vibe is like looking around like, can we call someone? Actually, RJ has managed it sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
RJ has occasionally managed just that, like, can we just let her
say this? I don't think I'm qualified to deal with all of that.
I don't know. So I think it's like you might need just one more hire. We got a lot of people who can do the same thing backstage right mm-hmm. now. We need someone who can mm-hmm. do just this thing. This is the only thing they have to do. It could be Alex Marvez. We've never seen him try.
That's true. I'd love to see him try.
Anyway, the patriarchy had a backstage segment that got interrupted by Jay Lethal wanting to interface with Nick Wayne. I wonder why I put it that way. Christian accepted. He wanted a match. Christian accepted the match on his behalf. Nick Wayne is going to be doing Best of Super Juniors, which seems cool. And then he fought.
Yeah.
I guess I don't. Yeah. And then Jay Lethal and Nick Wayne did fight. Leah, what did you say about Jay Lethal?
Dude, is he not looking juicy as hell lately? Yeah. I feel like he had a tight bod the last time I saw him. Derogatory. And now he's like thick and juicy, and I was kind of interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't go so far as interested for myself, but when I looked for what you were seeing, I saw it, and I preferred it to what I've seen before. Yeah. So good work on your body, Jay. And I don't want to talk about the rest of that. Okay. FTR fought Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong on Collision, and they won. It was really hard for me to see Kyle this way.
He's just so normal now.
It's really upsetting. I was looking for something in an old episode of ours recently, and I caught me during a phase of extreme passionate love for Kyle when it's like I was saying things that now I like, it's not that I did, like I still feel them in a way, but like I was saying that I would rather see Kyle O'Reilly fight Mox than Eddie fight Mox in that moment. Like, and I think everybody felt disturbed about it. And I was just like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's just what my heart is. It's just what my heart is screaming for that little freak. He's so normal now. It's so gross. And it makes me really sad. Really difficult.
I did watch a backstage segment.
You're right. That was weird.
Paragon was doing like some merch selling thing, and Adam Cole told Roddy to put on a t-shirt, and Roddy failed at it so badly. Like, it was as if he'd never seen a shirt before, and he just kept flipping it around in his hands trying to find like the neck hole, maybe, I don't know. And I just kept being like, now what do you think is going on there?
And did Kyle say something about like, what are you gonna wear to the spring fling, Roddy? And then Roddy was like, I can't wait to put this shirt on so well for Kyle, and then was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how this works.
I really want to put this garment on, but where does it go? Does it go over my ear? Does it go on my knee?
It was like an alien being like, so humans have one head and three. No, God.
I'll get this. He was like quick, like shifting under there being like, how many limbs do I need to make this work? I can do it. You're right. That was really weird. We haven't seen that in the ring, but thank you. Thank you, Leah. Thank you for reminding me of that, because it has raised my spirits again. So after the match, FTR tried to fuck up Adam Cole, but Danny Garcia ran out to kind of save him, and then he cut the speech being like, he said, hey, FTR, two of the biggest, fakest pieces of trash I've met in my entire life. I kind of like that, because I was like, yeah, that is how a child would yell at someone. He said, you want to stab me in the back? You didn't dig the knife deep enough to finish the job. Now it's your problem, because week after week after week after week, I'll be after you until I get my hands on you and make you pay. And then he and Adam Cole shook hands, and I think I was in the middle of typing, like, if Danny Garcia is going to be feuding with FTR, like, isn't he going to need a? And then I saw them shaking hands and said, oh, Okay.
Repulsive.
I hope Danny Garcia enjoys being in Paragon.
Who would? I don't know. A lot of the these
stable for men with no personalities. Incredible.
We need a little more active CPS presence backstage, because the situation that some of these children are in now, they do not have stable home environments.
So true.
Somebody,
and they're falling in with the wrong crowd.
Someone has got to do something about this. Any thoughts in general on the FTR storyline this week? Of course, it has been emotionally load-bearing for us for about a month. This was the first week in a while where I was like, give me nothing, Kings.
I know. Yeah, it really was their worst week in forever. Like, there was just nothing weird and awkward about it at all. It was just dull.
Yeah. They've returned to form where they're just going according to the beats that, you know, they always hate.
It actually made me think maybe they shouldn't have Stokely. I'm like, maybe that I'm always willing to say egg on my face. Like, maybe it's so important that you be fucking this up in your own special, unique way.
That's true. Yeah.
I know. I'm really struggling with that because I really like Stokely, and like, I want him to be back on TV. And so I'm happy to see him. And in some senses, seeing him talk versus seeing FTR talk, of course, I would like that. But I don't actually think that their energies really mesh that well. Mm. And so it doesn't seem like it's a partnership that's really going to excite me. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't apologize to
me. It's true. And it is fun to watch Daxacast do like the world's weirdest, worst promos, whereas Stokely is doing like normal, medium, good-ish promos. And, you know,
I think I don't really know what I feel about Stokely and FTR's specific dynamic. Maybe what I felt was that it hadn't really been highlighted at all, which I objected to. And I think I felt a little bit like, you know, if there's like a movie that you love because it's really bad, and then they get like a really big budget for the sequel, and it's like, okay, shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
Don't give them money. Don't give them money. Like, they only thrive when they have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, Stokely knows what a joke is, and Stokely has comedic timing, and so he's going to be looking for the joke, whereas FTR has no comedic timing and therefore end up being funny by accident, which is their best like scenario, you know,
because
they're rarely funny on purpose.
No.
But it turns out they can be quite funny on accident.
Yeah.
It is
and funny in ways that most people would never have thought of doing, you know? It's really unique.
It is a uniquely sublime feeling for the past month to have left those FTR promos being like, God, what do you think they thought they were doing? Do you think they thought it went well, or do you think they thought it went bad? Did I think it went well, or do I think it went bad? Like, I don't know how to feel about any of this except, like, exhilarated. Like, just pulsing with adrenaline, like, what is this? I'll withhold judgment, but I would say, you know, it's like, just don't invest. Put that money in the stock market or something, as Mark Briscoe recommended. Don't spend it on production values. Keep those low.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. As you can tell, we slid fast through a lot of the events of the week. It was a bit of a filler week. It's going to be a little throwback. We haven't done this in a while. We are going to play the dating game.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Are you guys feeling limber? Didn't like that?
I hope so. I'm definitely at my most innovative and mentally sharp. Yeah. So.
We did have to update our randomizer, and by we, I mean me. I had kind of completely lost track of what I was doing, so I had to update the randomizer really quick on the call before we started recording. So we might be missing some new people, but we think we got a lot of them in there. Okay, you girls ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want two or three?
Three.
Let's... No, I was going to say two.
You're going to say two. Oh, we could do two. I mean, I just think it's funny to continually be like, the couple is this, and then this third person is there.
That's true.
Yeah.
I do. I just like that. Options. That's funny to me.
You can all, I think what I'll say is you can always ignore the third person if you don't want to use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here we have Chris Jericho and Cool Hand Aang. And then our third person is Kyle O'Reilly.
Well, Jericho and Cool Hand have a history, right? Like they were
in jazz together. That's right.
Yeah,
and Chris was not happy. He got dumped. I think.
Mm. Yeah, they all left him.
Comedy of
and
remarriage.
Now, like the learning tree is kind of breaking up, and like you know,
oh yeah,
maybe like Cool Hand is kind of like you know, we're losing Danny. He's getting into bad influences. There's, you know, he's going normal and we need somebody who can drag him out of normal. And then it's kind of like a Parent Trap thing where it's like, as they work together to rescue their child, they fall back in love.
Wow.
That's very beautiful. I was thinking, like slightly lower rent. I was like, maybe Chris Jericho is just like feeling pretty bad and just like texting all his exes, like you up. It's like just texting Cool Hand Aang. Like, you, do you ever think about the good old days?
I like that you keep calling him Aang. What is it? Like the Avatar?
How am I supposed to say it?
Ange. Because it's from Angelo.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that. Yeah. Well, I guess it's just when I look at it, like, it's so hard for me to internalize that should be a soft G. Okay, I accept this criticism, but I'm going to keep saying Aang.
It's not really a criticism, and it's complimentary.
Oh, good. Perfect. I just want him texting. And the thing I love about when Chris Jericho comes up is that we all agree that we're like, Chris Jericho loves going on dates to his own steakhouse. We were like, he owns a steakhouse and he takes dates to his steakhouse. So I love him. Like, he's like texting Cool Hand being like, you up, like, want a free meal voucher for my steak?
He's like literally like sitting at a table for eight by himself because no one else has showed up, like in Hex, and then texting everyone. And Cool Hand's, he's hungry, so.
Free steak is free.
Actually, he's backstage and he's next to Kyle O'Reilly and he's like, Jericho texts me to go get steak. And Kyle's like, yeah, why not? It's like, well, I guess.
I love the idea that it's like, he texts back, he's like, okay, I'll come over. I'll come get steak. And Jericho is like pretty excited. Like, this is a pretty good response. I mean, when you're texting everyone on your phone, this is a pretty good response to get. It's someone you have actual history with. And then that guy shows up with Kyle O'Reilly. It's just like, okay, I'm not sure what the vibe is going to be here tonight. It's like probably not romantic, but it could be a threesome situation. It's hard to know.
Is Kyle O'Reilly like the least datey, like the person you could bring to ruin the vibe the best?
Yeah,
potentially.
Mm-hmm. To confuse it, certainly. Like, I'm like, I guess ruin it if you really thought it would be romantic, but again, I think it's similar to what I was saying about FTR, where I'm like, there would be an exhilaration to Kylo showing up. Like, it's just like, now what are you going? What are you going to add to this vibe? And what were you intended to add to this? Why did you bring him? And then Cool Hand is just like, I don't know, he's just next to me. It's just there. It's just, you know, sometimes he has the rental over, car. He's just there.
It's like he asked him for a ride and then just Kyle just walked in with him.
Oh, now I'm thinking about the terror Kyle and how I do think his vibe would be like, you know how sometimes you just look over and he's just there. You didn't realize he was there and his eyes are so far away. So I brought him to a steakhouse.
He's going to order that steak very rare.
Okay, good work. Good work, girls. Okay, I've got Kyle Fletcher, Big Bill, and actually, I don't know if we have custody of him anymore, but with the side of Matt Taven. I think he got mentioned on commentary the other day.
Yeah, did he get sent to ROH?
Yeah, maybe? I think so.
He's in the mines.
I think... it's not important for the date to know whether he's wrestling, but I'm curious.
We'll investigate that. Kyle Fletcher and Big Bill.
So who's it? Kyle Fletcher, Big Bill.
Yeah.
That's a tall couple.
You're right.
Tall babies.
The sooner the better. Who do you think is the... Who's pursuing who? I kind of think... I don't know. Kyle Fletcher is like, he's really feeling himself. Like, I do think that he could be.
He is.
He sees Big Bill. He's like, okay, tall drink of water. It's like, you already have a tall drink of water. You have a tall drink of water and a more normal height drink of water.
Oh, maybe Don Callis sends him to scout more men.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Big Bill could be a free agent now that he and Jericho. Yeah. And he's so tall.
And it turns out Don Callis doesn't care if you're in your 20s, actually. So. Mm. Okay. I love that.
And so that's how it starts, that Kyle's like, hello, tall drink of water. And Big Bill is sort of like, oh, like, I needed this ego boost after Jericho broke my heart. And so he like really responds.
Like, wait, you like me?
And probably Don Callis told Kyle to do whatever it takes, you know? So Kyle's,
that's right.
That he'll do what it takes. Like, if Big Bill thinks it's a date, well, it's a date, baby.
I think that Kyle Fletcher's vibe is that, so Don Callis, usually it's like he says, do whatever it takes. And it's like, Don Callis is a fucked up piece of shit. Like, there's like almost nothing you could do that would surprise him. I think Kyle Fletcher could come up with stuff. I think he could come up and be like, come back and be like, I did whatever it took, and say something that Don Callis would be like, excuse me. But not necessarily nasty. Like, I did whatever it took. Like, we went swimming with the dolphins. What? Yeah.
That would surprise Don Callis, I think. Yeah.
It's like, I meant like blow him. Like, what?
Oh, well, I did that after the dolphins, obviously.
Oh. Okay, yeah, that one's pretty straightforward. Let's see what we've got here. Sorry, I have some old stuff in here, so I'm trying to, you know, RIP Penta and Phoenix.
Oh, no, did we not delete them yet?
No, I told the listeners. We haven't cleaned it all out, okay? I'll get in there this weekend, and I'll make it nice for us. Okay. We got some... I guess they're not. Only one of them's a repeat. Samoa Joe. Mm. Don Callis. Mm-hmm. With a side of Chris Jericho.
Oh, wow.
Chris Jericho is really involved.
He loves romance. He loves it. Could be scouting. Could be more scouting.
It could be really out there scouting. I mean, Samoa Joe is very large also.
He is large.
So.
And don't you think Don Callis, like, so, like, he's out there. He's like, I'm looking for big boys for my stable. He runs across Samoa Joe. He's giving Samoa Joe the spiel. Like, I'm just, you know, just want to see if you have what it takes. Samoa Joe is really shutting him down. Like, he is a queen bitch. Like, he is a cool cat. Do you think Don Callis might like accidentally be kind of into that? Like, he's like getting nagged and he's like, do I like this?
Yeah, I do think Don Callis would respond really well to someone being very unimpressed with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like maybe even trying to be like, why don't you come fight my guys? And Samoa Joe is just like, no. I know. He's like, don't you want to prove how strong you are? Samoa Joe is like, I'm pretty aware of how strong I am. Don Callis is like,
he's like, okay, we could help you get the title. And someone just like, I'm gonna get it without you. Don Callis is like,
don't really need you for anything. Wow, we've really lost a lot of people, I have to tell you, going through this. This is a little sad. We're losing recipes. Okay. No, don't have that man. Don't have that man anymore. Okay. Don't have that man.
Wow.
Just got a little Ricky Starks, Adam Copeland, and Saraya. Don't have two of those people.
Oh, boy. No. That's a bad one.
Okay. This one is Penelope Ford, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Bryce Remsburg.
Huh.
That's a tough one.
It's hard to know what the in is
there. Yeah. I'm just like turning it over and over in my hands. Like, this knot has a loose part somewhere, but.
Maybe it's something. Like, maybe Bryce is like a little, like, he accidentally gets them together somehow. It's like he, like, books them both at the wrong hotel or something.
Oh, actually, that's, yeah.
Nothing.
He's a little hapless. Or the hotel. They're the only ones at this one crappy hotel. They have to drive together.
And they have to share a room. There's only one room.
Oh, sure. Can always get there.
Yeah, easy. So Bryce fucked up so bad that he booked just two wrestlers at the wrong hotel in just one room. I think people are going to question that. People are going to be like, Bryce.
He's going to be so apologetic, though. Who's going to get mad at him? He's going to be like,
yeah. He probably got like thrown down a flight of stairs by the Death Riders. Like, he was working with a head injury, you know?
Yeah. You know, referees only have one health point.
Mm-hmm. Like, be very careful with him. Be very careful. Juice Robinson, Daniel Garcia, with a side of Daddy Magic. That's
wow.
Hey, this randomizer knows what it's doing.
But it's a little bit like these three people won't stop doing their bits long enough to fall in love.
And why is Danny Garcia always bringing his dad with him to sexual events? I know.
I feel like we have booked that before, actually. Oh, that's right. No, the show booked it. Right.
Yeah, the show booked it. Yeah, and his sex dungeon.
I forgot. So important to bring your dad to stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Don't you, Juice Robinson, as Animal from the Muppets, mm-hmm. don't you feel like he could be courting Danny Garcia for months and Danny Garcia does not know that that's what's happening? And he's just like, wow, Juice sure is around a lot, but he's a fun guy. He brings me the funniest stuff sometimes. Like,
yeah, Juice's idea of a date is like, let's go throw watermelon off the overpass, you know? Yeah. And Danny's like, sure, yeah.
And it's like, it's a huge romantic gesture. He's like, I'll go down there and you can throw it on me. Throw it on my head. Give me right on my head.
And Danny's like, yeah, it was a pretty fun night. I guess I broke a watermelon open on Juice Robinson's head.
I think the Daddy Magic role there is that Danny Garcia comes back to their family suite at the end of the date and is just, and Daddy Magic is like, what did you get up to, little Danny? And Danny's like, yeah, I think it was pretty fun, actually. For some reason, I was like, I don't know, I was just like throwing watermelons at Juice's head. And Daddy Magic is like, you've been seeing Juice a lot recently, huh? You guys have been doing a lot of watermelon-based activities. And Danny's like, yeah, I don't really know what, you know, he's just kind of around a lot. And Daddy Magic is giving him this look that's like, I know why he's around a lot. I know what this behavior means when an animal is behaving this way.
Can you imagine Daddy Magic giving Juice Robinson the what are your intentions towards my son talk?
I guess I do think they would just be talking past each other the whole time. But Daddy Magic would also have to be like, and I know you understand you're also a father to the guns. Oh my god. Okay. Should we see if we can get one more good one?
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is a good one, but Tony Khan and Excalibur.
Already.
And with Danny Garcia on the
Danny Garcia is not getting them together.
He certainly is not. Like, if he was like, I can't believe I saw my parents having sex about Nigel and Tony Schiavone, imagine what his vibe would be about Tony Khan and Excalibur.
Yeah, no one's coming back from that. That's... Wow.
I can't. Do another good one.
Do another good... Okay, huh?
Yeah, but do... Cheat until you get a good one.
I don't know why I can't get any of our new people in there, and I've gotten Chris Jericho like every other time. Like, something is not.
He knows he's not on TV right now.
But okay, you can have this one. This one's Tony Schiavone, Big Bill, mm-hmm. again, and Chris Jericho.
Jericho. This is like Chris Jericho has like snuck into your computer and he's like, I'm not on TV, but God help me, I am going to be in every round of that dating game.
If I'm not featured on TNT HBO Max television, I sure will be in the dating game. Okay, bud. Well, you are. There's a demon in the randomizer tonight. because, you know, I'm just clicking. I'm seeing what else I can get. This one, and this actually might be quite interesting. This one is Don Callis. Don Callis.
Oh, sure.
And Hangman Adam Page. And I...
Were we talking about if someone had an identical twin we didn't know about at some point in the recent past? I feel like maybe. Anyway, it'd be fun if a second Don Callis suddenly showed up, you know?
Don Callis would be a multiverse supervillain. So that adds up. If this is some kind of like Into the Spider-Verse situation where suddenly you got two Don Callises on your hands, that checks out.
And do you think Hangman was doing something with like a multiverse machine of some kind that like collapsed, you know, that accidentally brought a second Don Callis into our universe and then he's running around trying to fix it? And meanwhile, the two Don Callises are.
Now, here's my proposition. Okay, the two Don Callises. They see each other. They're like, one Don Callis can destroy a wrestling promotion. Two Don Callises can destroy the world and would love to do so. So it's a supervillain team up. Hangman is like, what the hell am I going to do about this? I caused this problem. And eventually he's like, can't stop them. Maybe just distract them if I could convince them to fall in love with each other. And I could rechannel their energy into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad plan. It certainly would buy you some time, I think, if nothing else.
If nothing else. Like, I think it could be a beautiful love story, but sure, could buy you some time.
Well, just, you know, from Hangman's perspective, I think it's not a bad plan.
It's fair to suggest that perhaps Hangman would not go in beautiful romance first. Yeah. What do you think the Don Callis couple vibe is when you've got two Don Callises?
It's like telling each other how beautiful they are, oiling each other
up. How powerful
up.
They are. I don't think they even discuss each other's beauty. Sure. I think they're like, you're the most powerful man. You could have any man. You could have any man here. But I have you. And they just keep saying that together, but I have you.
Okay. Well, I think this was successful.
Yeah.
I don't think one couple successfully got together, but that's kind of our thing.
It is.
It's only when we have men on the podcast that they tell beautiful romantic stories and we tell stories that are like, have these girls ever met a date before?
We'll never tell. I am going to have to really investigate what's happening here because the number of Tony nieces that have come up.
Oh, no.
The number of, this is Soraya's that have come up. Santana and Ortiz somehow are both still in here. We'll look into it. I'm really sorry, guys. That's on me. But we did get that Don Callis. Super special team up out of it. So was there anything you wanted to talk about tonight that we did not get a chance to talk about?
No.
So. Okay. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky, at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email.
That's us. We're Tunnel Talk Pod.
I was busy counting them on my fingers. Via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find that at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a ton of other great podcasts. And I will say, personally for myself, I had a great, unusual week listening to many of our brother and sister podcasts this week because they were all talking about WrestleMania. And it was like, you know, gossip from a school you don't go to. It was like, wow, what happened over there? Seems pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right. Also, if we're talking about our brother podcast, ONR absolutely tickled me pink because they were talking about the possibility that Thekla might come to AEW. And James said, Tunnel Talk would like her. She's a friend of Sapphic's. Okay.
Hell yes, James. Okay. Can I say, I know I'm in the middle of doing our outro, but I got to say, I was listening to ONR this afternoon, and James said something. He said, like, okay, in this tone that he uses a lot, and all of a sudden, I realized that every time he does that, he is the embodiment of that, I guess, me. And now every time I think, I guess to myself, I'm going to imagine also James saying, okay. So, thanks. Love you all. Go check out all the other great podcasts on the network. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay frosty and hug your loved ones. And as always, please come back next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.